Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles again to, let me find our place here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and then we'll turn back to 1 Peter 5, and go back to the same verses we started with Sunday night, and we'll continue our thoughts there on lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Second Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 5, and again we'll read verses 8 through 10. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us to be in your house, Lord. Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we come to you as needy people. Lord, we come to you needing you to speak to us, Father. We want to hear from you tonight. We gathered here tonight, Lord, to hear from you, to be in your presence, God. So we ask you, Lord, meet with us. Speak to us, Father. Use the preaching of your word to accomplish your will. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you remember, I'm just to go quickly, if I can just remind us what we talked about Sunday night, that we have an adversary. That's not new news to anybody. You know that. You have an enemy. And his name's the devil, Satan. Sometimes we can be our own enemy. Sometimes we can be our worst enemy. But we have an adversary, the devil. And the Bible describes them in different ways. And that's what I reminded of us of. Sometimes we, when we think of Satan, we think of our enemy, we prepare and we plan his attacks, and we try to prepare ourselves for those. We look at him as kind of one aspect, that Satan's the thief, or Satan's the serpent. And I mentioned the false saying, or the error in the saying, that if you want Satan to leave you alone, just don't do anything for God. I've heard it said, and I've made the mistake of saying it. But as I studied about this lion, when God says your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, I realized that that was an error in that statement. That when you say you just do nothing, you don't grow, don't do anything for God, and then Satan will leave you alone. Well, as a lion, he'll look for the one that's lagging behind. He'll look for the one that's not growing. He'll look for that little one that's not growing in the faith, and he'll devour. And so I realized that that's not an accurate statement to say. You know, maybe you won't have to face the fiery darts of Satan. That might be an accurate saying if you say, well, just don't put on the armor. Don't go to battle with God. Don't go to battle for God, and Satan won't bother you. Well, you might not get those fiery darts from Satan, but you might hear a growl behind you with the teeth of that lion about ready to clamp down on you. So it's important. As I was studying, I realized this is so important, that some people are just getting that false idea. Hey, you know, I'm saved and I can just coast on life into heaven and nothing's going to bother me. And that's wrong. That's an error in your thinking, and you're in for a rude awakening, because Satan wants to chew you up and spit you out. And he will. And we talked about that. We talked about this lion and what the lion goes after. The lion doesn't go after the big bucks. Now, Satan does. Satan, in a different aspect, Satan the dragon, you know, Satan the serpent, he tries to come in and scheme and be a trickster, and he does. But that lion doesn't go after the big bucks. The lion's looking for something different. The lion can take on the big bucks, don't get me wrong. He can go after the strongest one in the pack. He can go after the strongest one in the herd, that big old ox or that big old buffalo. The lion can take him. But that's not who he goes after. And we just hit point number one on Sunday night. Point number one, you remember what it was? Who does the lion go after? The wounded. The wounded. The one that's walking slower than the rest of them because he's got a limp. The one that's bleeding and he can smell that blood. That lion goes after that one. And I mentioned how important it is because sometimes as Christians, when we're wounded, we just like to flaunt it. Look what happened to me. Look, I'm wounded. And we don't allow God to mend those wounds. When you get a wound, any nurse or anyone in here that knows, a doctor, nurse, anyone in the medical knows, when you get a wound, you got to cover that. You can't just have that out and air it out and allow germs and all this to get into it. You gotta cover it. You put that bandage on it. You wrap it up. You know, sometimes they say to apply pressure on it if it's real bad to stop that bleeding and put that ointment in there to help to kill the germs and things that may be in there. And we talked about that last week, the ointment, the Holy Spirit. And the Bible gave us a perfect example with the Good Samaritan, that man that was wounded. What did he do? He wrapped his wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine and took him to the innkeeper and says, you know, help this man. And that's what we need to do when we see people wounded. We need to be like the innkeeper and say, hey, I see you're hurt. Let me help you. Let's help one another. Let's be a helping hand to mend those because Satan's after him. He smells that blood. And he's coming. But that's not all Satan's after. So we'll continue this today. As I said, number one, the lion goes after the wounded. So number two, he goes after the weak. The weak. So he goes for the wounded, but he also goes for the weak. And when I think of weak, it could be one or two things. One, weak is one that's just not strong because they're not eating well. They're not eating well, so they're just weak. Also, it could be the little ones. The young ones. The young ones. You know, it's when a person gets saved, brand new salvation, they're so excited. They heard about the grace of God and that Jesus loves them. He forgives their sins. They come, start coming to church. Everything is just, they're on cloud nine, right? You remember when you got saved? Everything was just great. Thought nothing in the world's going to bother you anymore. But it probably didn't take you long to find out that's not the case. Because those new Christians, Satan would do anything. Get them while they're young. Destroy them while they're young and say, you know, destroy that life before God can use them. So he goes after the young. So when we say weak, it's those that aren't eating well, and it's the babes in Christ. So it's important also for us as a church to watch out for them. The ones that we just see that are weak, they've been saved for a long time, but they're not growing. We need to help them. We need to heed a warning to them. Say, hey, you know, you need to read your Bible. You need to come to church. You need to do these things to try to be a help to them. But those babes in Christ, it's good for us to rally around them, to be a help to them. And just like Barnabas was to Paul when Paul got saved and came to them, Barnabas was the one to put his arm around him and say, hey, you know, let me. Other people were scared of him because they knew Paul. Paul was, you know, one that was persecuting the church and persecuting Christians, and he came in as Saul, you know, he came in and they're like, hey, you know, this guy, is he tricking us? You know, they didn't know what to think, trying to get in, you know, to trick us so then he can ground everyone up and throw us in jail. They didn't know what to think, so they were a little kind of hesitant, backing away from, you know, maybe the people talk about the baddest guy in town getting saved. Well, if you knew that baddest person in town and they walked through that door, you might be a little hesitant, like, whoa, you know, what's this guy doing here? Is he here to cause trouble? But if he really got saved, he's trying to grow. He's trying to grow and come to church and be around God's people so he can learn the things of God. And that's what Saul did before he was Paul. But Barnabas, he didn't back away. He went and grabbed, put his arm around him and said, hey, you know, let me help you. Let me bring you in and you know, I'll be your buddy. I'll be those. So we need to be that for those newborn babes in Christ, the young ones, to help them. Because realize Satan's going to get them. If you just leave them on their own, that's so important. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. We realize when we talk about soul winning, that's important. Soul winning, witnessing to people. But it doesn't end there. The Great Commission isn't just go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, period. That doesn't end there, right? There's more to it. Then what does it say? Baptizing them and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So the Great Commission is not completed until you go, witness, bring them in, get them baptized, and then what? Teach them. Teach them. Help them to grow. That's discipleship. That's part of the Great Commission. And so many people like put a big push to soul win. I led all these people to the Lord, but then did you help them? Did you get them in church? Did you bring them to Sunday school? Did you try to disciple them? That's so important, because if you don't, Satan will be after them. They'll just be a babe in Christ and defenseless against the attacks of that lion. So we need to help them. So we want to think of those, not eating well, and the youth. I mentioned in Ephesians 6 last time, we were talking about that. Ephesians 6 talks about that battle and the armor of God. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord. You need to be strong, because Satan's there. Not, you know, we can't be the weak, because that's who he's going after. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, and that's just a couple pages back, says, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere milk of what? The word, that ye may grow thereby. So you start off as a newborn babe, but you're not supposed to stay there. You get saved, what are you supposed to do? Get in the word. Read your Bible. You're weak. Whether it be as a newborn babe or as a Christian, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not being fed. So I've been saved for 20 years. Are you reading your Bible every day? If not, what are you? You're weak. What would you be if you don't eat? You'd be weak. You know, think of it. Say you're here on Wednesday night. You'll be back here Sunday morning, Lord willing. What if you didn't eat between now and then? How would you feel Sunday morning? You'd be pretty weak, wouldn't you? You'd be dragging along saying, I just ain't got the energy. Why not? You're not eating. And the same thing with your Christian life. If you're not eating, if you're not in this word, then you're going to be weak. And Satan's going to be watching, saying, you know, he's watching, saying, yeah, they're not going to be able to fend me off. They're not going to be able to run very far. They're not going to be able to withstand my attack on their life because they're weak. So as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. So you get in the word and God feeds you, and you get in the word and God feeds you, and you get in the word and God feeds you, and you get in the word and God feeds you, and through time, you'll grow. Just like a child, you feed them and it's like, well, why aren't you growing? Well, you're not seeing it right away, but each meal they take, they're going to grow a little bit. Each meal to take, they're going to grow a little. It's got to be a continue eating, continue feeding, and then you'll see that child growing. You're like, oh, they're growing like weeds. But you don't see it overnight, do you? You don't feed them. It's like, well, look, they grew 2 inches right then. No, it don't happen like that. It might take a whole year for them to grow an inch. A whole year of eating, 3 times a day. Some of you 4 times a day, 5 times a day, right, man? Something, you know, just eating more and more. That's how you grow. You got to continue eating. The same thing as a Christian. If you're not eating, if you're not reading, and you're not in the book, you're going to get weak. And we'll say, well, I've read the Bible for 15 years every day, so I haven't read it at all in the last year. What are you going to be? You're going to be weak. You're going to be weak. And that's what the lion goes after. Hebrews chapter 5, let's turn there. He talks about this, the sincere milk of the word for the babes, but there's more to it than the milk of the word. We also know that there's strong meat in the word. Helps you grow a little stronger. Helps you grow faster. The milk's good for the babes, and they continue to grow, but then they need to go from the milk to the meat. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 says, For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both evil, but good and evil. Now, I don't know about you, but I still like a nice cold glass of milk. Amen. 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 But I'm not going to sit every meal and take a bottle and fill my bottle up with milk, and that's all I'm taking. Why? You'd be thinking that I might need to call someone on that guy, right? You think there's something wrong. He needs help. Wouldn't you think that would be the first thing in your mind? That guy needs help. If every time you saw me, I got my bottle and I'm drinking milk, and that's all I ever drank, milk. Why? I'm supposed to be a grown man. I'm supposed to be a grown man, right? And a grown man, if you saw a grown man drinking a glass of milk, hey, you wouldn't think nothing of it. But if that's all he ate and that was every meal, never ate a hamburger, never sat down a steak and potatoes, you think something is wrong. That guy needs help. And same thing with a Christian. Now, if a Christian's not eating at all, then something's really wrong. But if that's all they're eating is milk, as he was saying here, that there's a point where you should grow, not only that you're feeding yourself, but you're supposed to be feeding others. When you become parents, not only, you know, do you know to feed yourself, but you become a parent, what do? You're responsible to help feed that little babe, ain't you? You're feeding someone else. So you're as he mentioned, you're supposed to be teachers. But you have someone have to be teaching you again and again and again because you're unskillful. You're a babe. You're always in that milk instead of in the meat. So you got to eat because he says the babes desire the milk that they may grow. Not so they can stay drinking milk only all their life, but that they'll grow. So this is how we help that. This is, we need to get strong because when Satan, that lion's looking out over that herd, over that pack, over that flock, he sees that ones that are well fed. He sees those ones that are strong, and he'll look past them because he's looking for someone that's weak. He's looking for someone that's little, that's not growing. And that's the one to go by. You watch these videos. Some of you have said you've seen them. You see the video. If you see them with a herd and a pack, and they start chasing, which one do they go after? They go after that little one. They go after that weak one. So we need to continue to grow. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says that man shall not live by bread alone. This is when Satan was tempting Christ. He says, as is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So whether you're a newborn babe in Christ or whether you're just an unfed Christian, you need to realize you've got an enemy watching you. You need to take care of this. How do you do that? Get in the Word of God. Read it every day. Be fed. Allow God, the Spirit of God, to feed you. Allow Him to strengthen you through His Word, because that's what the Bible's going to do. As you read the Bible, and you've heard it said, sometimes you're reading through, and Pastor's been teaching us out of Leviticus, and I've been enjoying it, but I could tell you in my own personal life, I remember as a teenager, being taught to read your Bible, and I'd start in Genesis. Oh, Genesis is good stuff. And, you know, you get excited about that, and you get in Exodus and talking about, you know, the Moses bringing them out of Egypt and all the things that happened, the departing of the Red Sea and the Ten Commandments and all the stuff you get into, and you get to Leviticus. And it's like, what in the world? And it's like, I ain't getting any of that. I'm not understanding anything I'm reading. So, and it could be hard. And well, why do you read it? Because you're growing. And God's strengthening you. Because it's your food. Now sometimes, you know, mama may put something on your plate and he's like, I don't like that. Mama said, eat it. Eat your veggies. Eat your veggies. I don't like my veggies. Eat your veggies. Why? Because you grow. Not because you like it. Because you grow. Most of the things we like aren't good for us, right? Amen. Sad thing about that, but it's what happens. Biscuits and gravy aren't too good for you, but I like them, you know. You might grow in wrong ways, but, you know, you're not growing strong, but you're growing, but you got to watch that. So read your Bible. So, well, don't skip pages, don't skip books. Read your Bible. Allow God to strengthen you. Read it. When you open the Bible, and this is something I've been taught, when you open the Bible, before you read the first word, pray and say, God, I'm getting ready to get into your word. You're the author. Feed me. Feed me. I need you. I need this book. I need to grow. I need to get strengthened. Use your word to strengthen me. And watch how God just gives you something that day. Gives you some strength for that day. Gives you some food for that day. Allow God to do that. So number one, he goes for the wounded. Number two, he goes for the weak. Number three, the lion goes after the wandering. Those that are away from the rest. The ones that have wandered away from that flock. That's what the Bible, when we read about it last week, talks about that shepherd that goes after that one. He's got, you know, he's got 100 sheep. He got the 99 in the fold, but he goes after that one because that one has wandered off and he knows he's a target. That one's a target. He's not with everyone else. He done wandered off and he's a target. I got to go find him. I got to go find him. So those that are wandering, those that have strayed from the fold, or those who are following afar off. Remember when Peter did that? He was following, but afar off. What happened? He started cursing, saying, I don't know the man. He denied him. Why? Because he was going the right direction, but afar off. Sometimes pastors are like, hey, we need to go here and we need to go this way. It's like, okay, but I'm going to stay way, 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 way back here. And just kind of watch you from a distance. Well, guess what? Someone's got their eye on you. Just like that lion looking at that one ox that's gotten away from the fold. Gotten away from the herd. He's seen all the herd going together, but that one that's wandering by himself, that's who he's got his eye on. That's who he's got his eye on. And this isn't for those that are here on a Wednesday night. Probably not. I mean, the following afar off, maybe. Maybe someone's watching on the internet. You should be here. You should be right here in the midst, right in God's house, but you've wandered off. And Satan's after you. Maybe there's someone in here thinking about it. You're wondering, you're debating on whether, you know, I'm just going to stop coming on Wednesday nights or stop coming Sunday nights. I'm just going to get a little ways away. I'm not going to get all the way out. I'm just going to get on the outskirts. That's who the lion looks after. That's who the lion looks after. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he would draw nigh to you. How do you get safety from wandering off? How do you get back to safety? Well, you got to get close to God. Because if you're right there by God, I'll tell you, that lion's not going to bother you. That lion's not going to bother you. He don't want God to knock him on the head. He's not going to bother you. You get close to God. He said, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. And Psalm 91, verse 1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is that talking about? Get in that secret place. He wandered afar off. Get back in that prayer closet. Get back in that prayer closet. So if you don't read your Bible, you become weak. You're not getting fed. But if you're not praying, you're not spending time with God, you're drifting. You're drifting away. You're getting on the outskirt. You're wandering off away from God. The songwriter said, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart and take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Wandering. Wandering away. Get back in that prayer closet. If you haven't been praying, where are you? You're wandering. You're wandering. Get back in that prayer closet. Also, be faithful, church. Be with us. Be in God's group, God's people. Be with God's people. If you don't get to where you're just like, I don't enjoy going to church. I don't enjoy being around God's people. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. Hebrews 10 says, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. We need each other. I need you. I need to be around God's people. I need to be in church. It's a necessity for me. I need to be here. Not only just for my sake, but also because I know there's safety. There's safety being here. When you're wandering afar off, wandering away, or following afar off, that's who Satan's looking after. He's looking for the wounded, looking for the weak, looking for the wandering. There's another, number five. Looking for the weary. And this can hit all of us. You ever been there? Weary. You get tired. Looking around a bunch of people that I know you've been there. You're tired. You're tired. Faint-hearted, maybe. Sometimes you get faint-hearted and get tired when you're laboring and you're laboring and you're laboring and you're not seeing fruit. You're not seeing results. You know, sometimes missionaries can go to a field and it can be a hard field, and they know that before they get there, and they may labor for years and years and years and not see any fruit. They can get weary. Once you get to that point, that's you're putting yourself in a point where Satan can easily attack. He can easily attack because he's looking for those weary ones. So we need help. Galatians 6:9 is just a charge from God that let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's a charge from God just to keep going. You don't know. Those fishermen fished all night. What did they get? Nothing. Not one fish. Fished all night, weary from fishing and not getting anything. Jesus said, children, have you any meat? Nothing. Nothing. Labored and labored and labored and labored for hours, nothing. What did he say? Cast your net on the other side. You know, that's just a couple feet away. Just a couple feet more. And they had a net full of fishes that they couldn't even draw in. We don't know. We don't know that reward might just be one more step. And God's saying, don't be weary. Press on. For in due season, God determines that. God determines that. We may say, oh, I should have gotten results decades ago. No, God determines when due season is. Just don't get weary. Keep going. God says, you will reap if you faint not. And it's a charge from God. There was a missionary. I remember hearing this story, and I don't remember who it was. Years ago, because it was back when President Teddy Roosevelt was president. He was out in Africa as a missionary, there for years, laboring and laboring and laboring for years. And then he decided to come home on furlough and visit. He got on a ship, traveled back over here to America, when he was approaching land, approaching America, approaching the port there in America, he saw crowds of people. Crowds of people were out. That was just there. You could hear cheers, people just celebrating excitement of the boat popping in. He's thinking, what? Is this all for me? You know, these people are welcoming me back from laboring all those years over in the mission field. And what it was President Roosevelt was over in Africa on a hunting expedition and was on that same ship coming back. And the people were there for him. Were there welcoming the president back from just going over there hunting. And this man was just downhearted, thinking, you know, there was no one there to welcome me. No one there to say, you know, we've been praying for you. No one there to say, you know, it's good to see you. And was just there. He went back to his room that night and was just downhearted and praying, saying, God, this is tiresome. This is, you know, I've labored for years and not one person. You know, I come home and not one person to welcome me home. And it was just like God spoke to his heart and says, you're not home yet. You're not home yet. When you get home, you'll hear all that. When you get home, there'll be a welcome party. When you get home, you'll hear, well done. But you're not home yet. You're not home yet. Matthew chapter 11, let's look there. I want to be encouragement to those that are just weary. Jesus says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when I read that, sometimes we think, oh, okay, he's saying, come on, now it's time to sit down, relax, put your feet up. I'm giving you rest. Well, sometimes we get the wrong explanation, wrong definition of what rest is. When Jesus said this, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. In our mind, if we stopped it right there, we're thinking, okay, we'll drink some lemonade, proper feet up. Jesus is going to fan us while we sit down. But then he says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Whoa, I thought I was resting. A yoke? That's for work. That's for labor. That's for plowing. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If we get the right definition, the right explanation of what rest is, we'll understand this. See, when you put that yoke of God on and keep going, when it's time for us to stop, then God will take us out of here. But God's got us here. Some people have been in this room, have been laboring many, many, many years. And Jesus is saying, put my yoke on. You're weary. You get weary because sometimes we try to do it in our own power. That's when we get weary. That's when we start getting faint-hearted. It's like when we try to, in our own power, saying, God, I've been trying to do this, and I've been trying to do this. Well, we got to realize it's not I. It's we. When you're doing it with God and you're in the yoke with God, you don't get weary. He says, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Why? Because he's carrying it. He's carrying it. All you got to do is walk beside him. When you got two animals in a yoke, they're walking side by side. And he's saying, I'm carrying the burden. You put this yoke on you, all you got to do is walk with me. And we're getting the work done. And you're getting a blessing for it, but he's doing the work. He's doing the work. So if you're getting weary, that may be what's going on. You're trying to do it in your own power, and you need to get to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I can't do it. I can't do it. I need you. And he wants to. He wants to walk beside you. He wants that close fellowship with you as you labor together with him. put that yoke on and let's keep going. But God says, in due season, you'll reap. You'll reap if you faint not. Just keep going. Keep going, weary saint. Keep going. Don't let the devil see you it's lagging behind. Don't let the devil see you. I'm just tired. We get tired. We get weary. Let's put God's yoke on and keep going. When we're yoked up with God, we're yoked up with Christ, that lion's going to think twice about looking at us. That lion's going to think awful long and hard before he tries to make a move on us if you're yoked up with Christ. So let's get yoked up with Christ. Number one, the wounded. Number two, the weak. Number three, the wandering. I skipped number four, didn't I? I went to number five. Number four was withdrawn. Those that are wrapped up, distracted. The cares of this world have gotten to you. I only had a little note in here and I just skipped right over it. You get wrapped up in the cares of this world. And we talked about this last Sunday night. You look back at the be sober, be vigilant. When you back up that one verse when he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Sometimes the cares of this world can distract us. We look at things that the world just burdens us with. And you're here tonight in church, but you might be somewhere else. You might be wrapped up on your bills. You might be wrapped up on the news you got from the doctor. Ones that's just not paying attention. They're not alert to what's going on. They're not focused in God's plan because their mind's just wandering. They're withdrawn because of the cares of this world. And he sees that. The lion sees that one that's just not paying attention. And he knows that that's a easy target. And those that are sleeping, we talked about that also. Wake up. So number four, I don't want to skip that one. Withdrawn or wrapped up. Number five, the weary. And I'll finish with this one. Just in passing, this one's a little different. I was thinking of this one. This last one, not only do you have to be attentive and watchful of that lion, you also have to watch for people in this category, number six, the whiny, the murmuring, the ones that, the loud ones. You know, you get this herd going together and there's that one that's always, bah, bah, bah. You know, that lion could be over there sleeping, not paying any attention, but he hears that, what's he gonna do? He's gonna perk up and start watching. The bad thing why I said you gotta watch out for this one is because this one, normally, these usually get others killed first. That one that's making a noise and getting that lion's attention, he gets the attention, but then that lion starts getting attention on someone that falls into these other categories. When he starts, he perks his attention up because that one that's just always running their mouth, always causing strife, and one that's always just murmuring or complaining, it gets his attention, but then he starts looking at those weak ones. And he starts looking at the one that's wandered a little ways off and starts getting his attention on the wounded. So they're normally the ones that end up paying a price first because of this person that's always griping, the loud ones. And then that lion attacks and gets that little one, that weak one. And that person, I knew that person wasn't going to make it. I knew they was weak. I told you right off, that person never would have made it. They just wasn't strong. I knew they'd be one to get out of church. Keep on running their mouth. When in fact, they were probably the ones that hurt them. One of the ones that hurt them. So, the whiny. Be sober. Church, be vigilant, be wide awake, be aware that there is an enemy. There's an enemy that's after us. There's an enemy that wants to destroy, to steal, to kill, to destroy any life, and he has no pity. No mercy. He doesn't look at any life and say, I'll give them a couple years. I'll let them live their life a couple years and then I'll attack them. He sees an opportunity. Just like that lion. When you think of the devil, you got to realize that. He says, as a roaring lion. When you think of that enemy, if he gets in that opportunity, he's going to attack. He's going to attack. If you're not ready, if you're not prepared, if you're not in church, if you're not in your Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not doing these things to keep you from being in one of these categories, then you might just be his next meal. I beg of you, church, if it's something, if you're in any of these categories, get it taken care of. Get it taken care of. If you've been wounded, find that one that hurt you. As God said, go to thy brother. Go to thy brother. See if you can make it right. If it can't, God said, how many times you're supposed to forgive? 7 times? He says, no. 70 times 7. You've got to get it in your heart to forgive because you've got to have healing. If you're weak, it's because you're not being fed. Get in the Bible. If you're wandered off, it's because you're not staying close to God. Get in your prayer closet. You don't have a prayer closet. Get a prayer closet. Get a prayer closet. If you're withdrawn, if you got things going on just distracting you, cast those on God. Cast your cares upon Him. Get at the altar and say, God, this is a burden for me. This is hard for me. It's distracting me. I can't focus on what I need to. I can't focus on you. I can't focus on my Sunday school class. I can't focus on my bus route. I can't focus on my family. God, this is hurting me. God says, give it to me. Let me help you carry that burden. If you're weary, don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to do it on your own. God says, I have a yoke, and it's light. Take my yoke. Realize God's there. We shouldn't try to do anything on our own. We're just so full of pride thinking we can do it. We shouldn't try to do anything on our own. We should realize, God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be able to get up out of bed in the morning. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have a clear mind to have a job. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have anything. I can't do anything without you. And we need to, as Paul said, you know, I die daily. Let Christ live in you. Let Christ live through you. And those that are the whiny, I pray that you get that straight. You're going to hurt people. You're going to hurt people. Murmuring, gossiping. That hurts people. Not only does it hurt people, it kills Christians. You better give that to God. Get that right. Confess to that and forsake that. That's a sin. Get that to God because you're going to see others hurt because of you. I don't want to be the cause of anyone to fall. God forbid that I would cause anyone to be a stumbling block to them, to cause them to fall. Get out of God's will. Get out of church because I said something that hurt them. We're all prone to. It's in us to put our nose and our mouth where it doesn't belong. It talks about that tongue being a fire. We need to watch what we say because we can hurt others. Before we hurt ourselves, it hurts others. So let's take that, get that taken care of. Let's all stand. Thank you.